Okay, today's daf is Tzadichet. We're going to start at the very bottom of Tzadi Zayin Amud Bet. We were in the middle of this big question we had yesterday, which was, if the assumption is that all the Amot in the Beit HaMikdash were six Tvachim Amot, except for a bunch of exceptions, and some of those exceptions listed were the Yesod, the Sovev, and the Kronot of the Mizbeach. And then we had a numerical issue, because if we say there were five Tvachim Amot, are we talking about in height or in width? And neither of those made sense with various sources. So in the end, they're going to come up with what we call the basic compromise, okay, which is, okay, we're at the very bottom of the daf, the last line, Ela, Chek Ha'ama, which is again the Yesod, the base of the Mizbeach, Bigov Ha. Okay, one of them is going to be, its height is going to be a five Tvachim Ama. Ama Rochav, which is the Sovev, is Knisa. And then what do we resolve by doing that? Number one, we resolve the issue of, if you remember, we had this problem that we ended at the very end that we're going to have, well, not just there, but that in the end, the Mizbeach is going to be actually not 32 by 32, but 31 by 31, because if each of the three lose a tefach on the width, then we get to six tefachim, which is a whole amma, and we're going to be off by an amma. Kol o, we weren't off by a full amma, we didn't care. So as soon as we say, well, only one of them was, and that's one of them was a six amma rochav, then already we're down to a four tefachim discrepancy, and four tefachim discrepancy we can deal with. Okay, so we've resolved that issue. We'll have to talk about how we resolve the height issue, which was the issue of the Kohen standing on the Sovev and sprinkling the blood down, and he'd have to sprinkle down only to the midpoint. So we'll get there. So right now we're going to say, Chekama, the Yesod was a five tefachim amma. The Amar Rochav was the width. Okay, the Sovev was a five tefachim amma in width. Gvula el svata saviv. Now, when we get to the kronot, losh nahachi velosh nahachi. At this point, it doesn't really matter. We could say it could be width, it could be gova, it doesn't really matter. Okay, how does this work? So now we're going to explain the first issue, which was, okay, I didn't chart it out, but you could look at yesterday's chart. Whether you say gova or rochav, we have to answer the following questions, which was, and the whole issue is, when the Kohen's standing on the sovev, which is six amot high, and he sprinkles down below, the Mishnah, I think it is, or somewhere, it says that he has a whole amma's worth that he can go down without hitting the midpoint, below the midpoint of the Mizbeach, and it's still considered he's in the upper part. When he sprinkles the blood, he has to sprinkle the blood in the upper part of the Mizbeach. The Chuda Sikra was that midpoint. So when he's standing on the Sovev, six amot high, he has to be sprinkling down about six Tvachim, and he'd still be within the top half. So that's just a mathematical issue. So how do we get to it from here?
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah.
I don't remember. If he sprinkles it, but if it drips, it's okay that it goes below? Or
yeah, I think if it drips, it's okay.
Also, blood drops really quickly. I mean, it doesn't drip all that much.
Okay.
I mean, there's not that much. I mean, who knows? I don't know.
Right. He didn't throw it. He did mitzoy, if you remember. He kind of smeared it on the wall. So it wasn't really, maybe a little drips, but he was smearing it. It wasn't like he was throwing it. When we were standing, the ones that he stands at the bottom of the Mizbeach, he throws it. If you remember that we saw pictures where he's throwing it. But the one where he stands at the Sovev, it's called mitzoy, where he kind of smears it on the wall. So there might also be less reason to think it's going to drip. But I don't know that we're so worried about the drip. Not sure. Okay. So, Mizbeach Kamahave. So remember, how tall was the Mizbeach? So the Mizbeach was 10 amot high. Now, if we're going to say that one of those amot, the amma of the Yesod, was five tefachim in height, and all the rest were nine, I'm sorry, all the rest were six, then we're going to get to 59, because if you have, right, just very simple math, if it was every amma was a six tefach amma, and it's 10 amot, it would be 60. But now we're saying that the one at the base was actually only five tefachim, so we're short one tefach, we end up with 59 tefachim. Now, Palgei de Mizbeach Kamahave. So where's the midpoint of the Mizbeach? Esrim v'tisha. Okay, at 29. It's actually not exactly 29, right? Because it's 59 divided by 2. Okay, but they say here 29. Mikranot va'ad sovev kamahave. So now from the top to the sovev, where the Kohen's standing when he sprinkles the, when he smears the blood, underneath the Sovev, where is he standing? At what point? So all the Amot at the top were six Tvachim Amot, and he was standing at number four Amma. So when he's standing at number four Amma, how far is he from the top? 24. Four times six, right? Everything was an Amma of six Tvachim. So he's standing, he's standing at 23, because the Kronot, we also said, were one less in height. So we're going to lose one amma there, one tefach there, and one tefach at the bottom. So now he's standing at 23. Now you can see the math. Kama b'tzir l'palged mizbeach. How much from 23 till he gets to palged mizbeach? If palged mizbeach is 29, then he gets to shita. Okay, and that's 6, right? It's, to get to half the mizbeach is 6, which is perfect because it's not imasa alamata meragav afilu amma achat k'shera. Okay, so basically the math works with the mizbeach if we lose one at the top and one at the bottom. Okay, as opposed to before, we lost 3 tefachim altogether, and that already the math didn't work. But if we lose only 2, it's going to work. Daikanami dichtiv, we can also prove this from the pasuk. Okay, now it seems weird to you. If we're going to say they were each a 5 tefach amma, how do we start one? You know, one is width, one is height. It doesn't make so much sense, but they're going to say, actually, if you look at the pasuk, you can, it's not exactly clear in the pasuk, but one can infer from the pasuk. Why? Dichtiv, in that pasuk in Yechezkel, where we started this whole thing, it says, chek ama, and then it says, ve'ama rochav, shma mina. So they say here, since it says chek ama, and then it says ama rochav, in the second description, where it's talking about the soved, it mentions the word rochav, and it doesn't mention the word rochav before. So therefore, they say chek ama must be height, and then when it switches and says ama rochav, it must mean width. Okay? And that's why they prove. Okay. Now we talk about bekama ama benonit, right? What did we say before? In ama benonit, ama Rabbi Yochanan shishat vachim. Now we said this was a little strange because what do you mean ama benonit? Benonit could be bigger than, right? Benonit means average. Average means there's something above it and there's something below it. But in this case, there's only something below it because we said there's a 5 tefach amma and there's a 6 tefach amma. So why is the 6 tefach amma called the benonit? Benonit sounds like it's between something else. Otherwise, you should just call it gadol and katan. Seems weird. They call it benonit. So now we're going to explain where we get to the benonit. Af ananami ten. Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Avin. Af ananami tenina. We also see this in another source, Tanaitic source. Rabbi Meir Omer. Hashulchan or koshne masar. Virochbo shisha. Okay, so they say, right, what does he say? The shulchan was 12 by 6 because it was 1 amma by 2 amot. Here you see that he also thought that the kelim, right, here you see that the kelim were done in an amma benonit of 6 tefachim. Michlal, now they say, but from here one can infer, dahavya amma dinefisha mina, right, which doesn't make any sense. It sounds like benonit sounds like there's an amma that's bigger than it. So they say, in fact, there really is an amma that's bigger than it, believe it or not. Vahatnan, Shte amot hayu b'shushan abira. Okay, you're thinking what Shushan abira is, but this is not what you think of Shushan abira. Okay, let's explain. First, you have to explain what two amot are. Then you have to explain what Shushan abira was. Two amot means not that there were two amot of space. Two amot means two amma measuring sticks. There were two amma measuring sticks that they stored in Shushan abira. Now, Shushan HaBira, right? This sounds like something totally different than it actually is, because it sounds like there's two ammas of space in Shushan HaBira, and this has nothing to do with that. There were two amma measuring sticks that were different from each other. Okay, we're going to see they were both larger than 6 tefachim ammas. Okay? So, right, imagine a ruler, right, a meter. So, they had these measuring sticks. One was a little bit bigger, and one was a little bit bigger than that. And they kept them in Shushan HaBira. What's Shushan HaBira? Shushan HaBira is not Shushan HaBira, the city. Shushan HaBira is near the eastern gate of the entrance to the Har HaBayit. There's actually a debate whether it was the eastern gate on the entrance to the Azara or the eastern gate on the entrance to Har HaBayit. We're going to see what it is after, but it was basically a memorial or some sort of depiction of Shushan HaBira. We'll see in the Gemara why they had such a thing in the entrance to the Har HaBayit. Okay, most opinions think it was in the entrance to Har HaBayit, so we'll stick with that. And in that area, they had these two amma measuring sticks. Echad al kerem mizrachit tzvoni, one sat in the northeastern corner of the room. Ve'echat al kerem mizrachit romit. Okay, there's a debate. Is it a room or is it just a space or what? Okay, but one on the southeastern side. Sha'al kerem mizrachit tzvonit, the one that was on the northern part area there, yitera al shel Moshe chatzi etzba. It was one etzba wider than the amma of Moshe. Okay, we're assuming the amma of Moshe was 6 tefachim amma. Okay, it sounds like there was even this measuring stick from the time of Moshe that they kept that was an amma. It was a 6 tefachim amma. And this was one etzba. Now, 4 etzba all make up a tefach. Okay, so this was one etzba greater than, so a quarter. It was like an extra quarter of a tefach larger. Shal kerem mizrachit romit hayta yitera alav chatzi etzba. Okay, the other one was, oh, sorry, I said it wrong. It's a quarter, sorry, half an etzba. Okay, I said it wrong. It's not a quarter. It's actually an eighth larger because it's a half an etzba. So it's an eighth large of a tefach larger. And shalkerem zechitro mitai tayi teira alav chatzi etzba. And this one was a chatzi etzba greater than that one, meaning it was, you could say it easily, it was one etzba. Okay, so one was a half an etzba, an eighth greater, and one was a quarter of an etzba, a quarter of a tefach larger. Nimtzeiti teiral shamosha etzba. Okay, they do the simple math, right? So this one, the second one, was actually one etzba greater than the Amma of Moshe. Vilama amru achat gedola ve'achat ktana. Okay, why they have this one that was bigger and one that was smaller, these two here. Right now we're talking about they were all larger than the Amma of Moshe. But what were they for? Okay, why they have these two? Kadeshi hu ha'omnim notlim b'ktana u'machzirim b'gdola kadesha lo yavo lidei me'ila. Now they say, what was the purpose of these that was bigger than the regular Amma? Because if they hired someone to build something and they paid them from the money of the Mikdash, someone was getting paid to build something. If he builds it exactly to specifications, it's actually so interesting because things had to be built to specifications. But what they're saying is they built things actually a little larger than the specifications so that if they messed up a little bit and did it a little smaller, they'd end up being chayav and me'ila. If somebody tells you to build something one amma by one amma, and they pay you for it with the hekdesh money, and you get paid by hekdesh money, and you build it a little smaller than an amma, then you're basically benefiting because you built something a bit smaller. You're benefiting from hekdesh. So because of that, they built these things that were a little larger. Okay, so the things then ends up everything was sized a little bit larger than it was supposed to be, which seems a little strange.
I was thinking another reason. You always order things a little bit larger because you can't make them bigger, but you could always make them smaller.
You can always kind of reduce the size.
Yeah,
Right. So that's also maybe in theory, you could say that they built them larger and then maybe they cut them down to size or something. Right. Yafeh. Okay. It's going to be heavy on class. Okay. Vitarte la halidah. That explains one, right? But why do we have both of these? Chada lekaspa udava, v'chada lebinyana. One was for the kelim they made out of gold and silver. They didn't want to create a huge loss for the builders. So the gold and silver ones, they only added a chatzi etzba more because it was too costly for them. But the regular binyanim, the walls, things like that, so they're already they did it an etzba larger. Tanan hatam. Now we're going to talk about the Shushan Abira. Shar HaMizrach, and this is why it's not clear, because it says the Eastern Gate. Which Eastern Gate? Okay. Of the Har Abayit, of the Asara. But again, most people say the Asara. I'm sorry, the Har Abayit. Shar HaMizrach, Alav Shushan Abira, Tzura. Okay, there's a Tzura of Shushan Abira. My time, or what's the reason for this? Rav Chistev, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Chan Amar, Kadesh Yedu Mehechan Bau. Interesting, right? The Jews remember where they came from. It's a memorial of the Galut. Remember where you came from. Don't ever forget. Okay? Appreciate it, right? It's a way of saying appreciate what you have. B'chan amar, k'desha tehe emat malchut alehen. The Persians were ruling, right? The Persians were ruling when they got the Beit HaMikdash back. So when they rebuilt the Beit HaMikdash, they wanted to show respect for the malchut paras. So they did a depiction of Shushan HaBirah, which was in paras. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yanai, La'olam, now we're talking about Emat Malchut, now we're going to talk about La'olam Tehe Emat Malchut Alecha. You should always be fearful of the ruler, Shenemar, right? Which also means, it's not just fearful, it's out of respect. You should have respect for others. Shenemar, V'yardu kol avadecha ele elai, V'shtachavu li lemor. Okay, so now this is, I have to remember the context of this, right. In Shmot Yud Aleph, right, Moshe says to Paro, after I bring the makot, right, what's going to happen? Yardu kol avadecha ele elai v'shtachavu li, and they're going to say, tse'ata v'cholam asher b'raglecha, right? And then we're going to go out. But what does he not say to Paro? You're going to say to me, even though really ultimately Paro says to him, get out of here. But he says, your avadim are going to want me to get out of here, right? It was a sign of respect. Okay, this is Taryn of taking it, not that you should fear necessarily, but you should have respect, although they're connected somewhat. Right, but he didn't say it directly to Paro, and as he spoke to Paro, but he didn't use Paro's name in that sentence. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mehacha. Rabbi Yochanan says that this is a really interesting proof. Shneimar v'yad Hashem aital Eliyahu. This is after the whole showdown at Har Carmel between the Nevi'ei HaBaal of Achav and Eliyahu, where you think Eliyahu basically, shows up Ahav and says, you know, out of here. You'd think he wouldn't really need to have such respect for the king at this point. But what does it say? Vayishanes matna vayaretz lefnei Ahav abo acha Yisraela. He basically ran in front of him. It sounds like when you have a police escort, right? He goes in front of you. That's what he was basically doing. Some people say it was in the context of like a police escort. It was not, he was kind of showing him respect. I'll go before you out of respect. Or some people say it was more that no one else was with Ahav. Everyone had left him at that point. And Eliyahu didn't want the king to be walking by himself, right? This is, you know, maybe they both connect with police escort, right? That's maybe more likely a police escort, right? You don't want the king to be on his own. First of all, some danger might happen to him, but also just it's not respectful for the king to walk on his own. So he went in front of him. Okay. Now we're going to talk about, this is in Yechezkel, it talks about, in the third Beit HaMikdash, okay, let me read you the whole pasuk first. We've seen this a while ago. Va'al ha-nachal ya'aleh asfato mizeh u'mizeh. There's going to be this nachal that's coming out of Kodesh Kodeshim. If you remember this image, it's a very interesting image. There's going to be this stream coming out of the Kodesh Kodeshim in the third Beit HaMikdash. Kol etz ma'achal lo yibol aleihu. And from this water, right, it's going to basically make sure that all the trees will stay alive. Or maybe it's any tree that the water touches, right, kind of the Midas touch. Below yitom periolach the shavi vaker, right? It'll constantly have new fruits. Ki me'mav mina mikdash hema yotzim v'haya periolah ma'achal, and right, the fruits will be for eating. Ba'alehu litrufa, and right, it's really this magical kind of thing that its leaves will be used for curing purposes. So now we're going to talk about what are these curing purposes. This is just because we're in the context of Yechezkel and Pesukim about the third Beit HaMikdash. We were talking about all the measurements, so we're going to continue with these Pesukim. Rav Chista, Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Chad amar lahatir pesha lemala, v'chad amar lahatir pesha lemata. Okay, we don't really know what this is yet. I mean, we could look at the Mefreshim, but in a second they're going to explain it even better. So I'm going to just keep going. Itmar. It was said there's a machloka. We hear it's a little bit more specific, the same opinions. Chizki amar lahatir pe ilmim, to cure people who can't speak, that's pe lemala. Bar kapara amar lahatir pe akarut. Okay, the barren women, that's pe shelemata. So they're basically saying that's what this water is either going to cure and allow people to speak or allow people to have children.
Were there that many youths that would be the highest prior? I mean,
right, it's interesting. Strange. Yeah, it is interesting that where there's so many people who couldn't speak, you would think akarut is definitely a much more...
Well, and there are lots of ailments that weren't cured.
Yes, right. So interesting that those are the ones, right? Why they specifically choose these two things is a very
barren
good question.
Barrenness, I get. That was pretty critical. But mm-hmm. And everybody...
Because it's related to the mouth of a river, because rivers...
I can see why it makes sense. I mean, mm-hmm. why they can make all sorts of whatever, it just seems like...
Right. It could be, look, ilmim could be a siman for all sorts of defects, which could also, you know, which then would include a lot more things, which then, again, both could be somewhat related to birth defects, birth defects, you know, and issues around surrounding births, which was a very big deal, right? Like, Al Shalosh Avirot Mashim Mitob B'Shad Leidatan. It was a very, why do they say that? Because that was a big issue of having problematic births, and so maybe it's related to that, either no births or problematic births, maybe if it's viewed like that. Because also, we talked the other day that most ilmim, you know, a cheresh that can't speak, generally they assumed it was from birth. So, okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Ilu ne'emar v'lakachta sole. Now we're back to the shtei alechem. I'm sorry, the lechem apanim, which was where we started. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Ilu, right, we got off the topic because we were really talking about the size of the shulchan where the lechem apanim sat. So now they're going to talk about the words. Okay, we know that there are 12. Okay, how does it look? You can see a picture, right? The basic picture of the lechem apanim. There were 12 loaves. Two sets, they're called ma'arechet in the Torah, shesh ma'arechot. There were two sets of six lechamim on each side, okay? And that's what we know. So now they're going to say, where do we know all this from? Tana Ramanan. Ilu ne'emar, if it had only said in the pasuk, v'lakachta sole v'apita ota shtep esrei chalot, v'samta oto shtayim ma'arechot, v'lo ne'emar shesh. We're basically going to say, why does the Torah say all three things? Shtem esrei chalot, shtayim ma'arechot, and then it says shesh ma'arechet. Okay, so all those things teach us that there were 12 loaves, that there were two ma'arechot, two sets, and shesh ma'arechet, meaning there were six on each ma'arechet. Now they're going to say, what if we only had two? And they're going to give all two possibilities. What might we have thought incorrectly? And therefore, it needs to say all of them. Vilona emar shesh. So if it didn't say shesh, hayiti omer, echad shal arba ve'echad shal shmoneh, right? You could have said, okay, 12 loaves, shesh ma'arechet, shtayim ma'arechot. You could have said two stacks, maybe one with four and one with eight. Okay. L'chach ne'emar shesh. That's why it says shesh. Be'ilu ne'emar shtayim ma'arechot, shesh ma'arechet. If it just said two ma'arechot, shesh ma'arechet, that sounds like, okay, you could have figured out if there's two sets of, right, two piles, two stacks, and six in each, you would have gotten to 12. So why do you need 12 chalot? Ve'lo ne'amar 12, hayiti omer shalosh shel shesh. Maybe there were three because shtayim ma'arachot, and then shesh ha'marechet was in addition to the shtayim ma'arachot, and then you would have six on the next one. So maybe it was telling you there's three of six, and then you would have had 18. Lekach ne'amar 12, ilu ne'amar 12 chalot. So now, what if you just had 12? Uma arachot, and then it says ushtayim arachot. It said shesh ma'arechet. Velone amar shtayim v'shesh. What if it just says shtemesre chalot uma arachot, which means ma'arachot generally, we assume usually plural means two. So then you'd already know there were two sets. Didn't say shtayim v'shesh. Hayiti omer shlosha shel arba. Arba. You might have thought, though, ma'arachot is plural. It doesn't necessarily mean two. It could mean three. You could have had three stacks of four each. Lekach ne'amar shtayim v'shesh. Ha, ad shelo amru shlalosh mekorot elu lo lamadnu. Okay, so therefore, if you didn't have all these three psukim, you wouldn't have been able to figure out all the perfect details that we said. Ha ketzad. So how do we do it exactly? We know this already. Noten shtayim arachot shel shesh shesh. Okay, so you do two sets of six each. Ve'im natan achat shel arba v'achat shel shmoneh lo yatza. Okay, if you do, now we're going to have things that you are yotze, things that you're not. If you do four and eight, you're not yotze, because you don't have six in that pile. But shtayim shel sheva sheva, what if you do 14 loaves, and you put, right, you have six in each, but then you put an additional one on top. So then, you're going to be yotze, okay? Rebbe yomer ro'im et ha'elyona ki'ilu eina. You just, right, you still have six, it's just that you have a seventh, you just ignore that seventh. Now they say, wait a minute. You forgot about an important halacha. V'habi inam v'natata al. Remember it says, natata al ha'marechet levona zakah. And what did we say? It sits on top of the top loaf. Now, if it sits on top of the seventh loaf, and we say we view the seventh loaf as if it's not there, well, then the levona is not sitting on the loaves. Okay? It's sitting on a loaf that we kind of view as invisible. So what's going to be the obvious answer, if you remember? One of them said to the other, we've had them, by the way, where it's unclear, these two people, Rav Amnuna and Rav Chista, we've had this recently, where one said to the other, we're not sure who said to who, Rebbe l'ta'ame da'amar al b'samuch. Rebbe was the one who said, al min samuch. If you remember, there were two opinions about the levona. Did it sit on the top loaf, or did it sit, depending on, if you say that if the shulchan was six tfachim amas, then there's two extra tfachim in the middle of the table, and Rebbe said they sat there, and al doesn't mean on top, al means next to. And here's a proof, it's interesting, the other day we brought a different proof, but this proof we also saw in the past. So now they say, here's Rebbe, Detanya Rebbe Yomer benatata al ha'marechet levona zakah, al besamuch, and then they say, Ata Omer al besamuch, ho'enu al mamash. How do we know that al is next to, and not necessarily on top of? They put on top of the aron, that's a parochet, but it doesn't mean on top. The parochet went on the side next to it. There's your proof. Okay. Now we're going to talk about the direction that the kelim were in the room. Okay? In the hechal, okay, let's talk about the hechal for a minute. So we have this space of the hechal. You can look at the picture on the maps. The maps are here. Okay? In the hechal, right? I'm not drawing the azara here. I'm just drawing the hechal. It was a long room. Okay, it was 20 amma in width, and 60 amma in length. Okay, it was 60 amma. The Kodesh Kodeshim was 20, and the other space was 40. Okay, so now, now let's talk about, right? I think that's the right measurements.
There's a good math here.
Yeah, and the Shatnam's going to have a good map. That has the measurements, right? I'm right about the measurements. It doesn't have the measurements?
It does.
Yeah, it was 20 amma. I'm right that it was the Heichal was Yeah, it was 60 amma altogether, okay? 40 amma of the room, right? Let's erase this. 40 amma. Remember, this is the Kodesh Kodeshim on the inside, which was 20 amma and in length. And then the room where the Shulchan and the Menorah stood was 40. So now the question is, right, the Kodesh Kodeshim is Ma'arav, the entrance is Mizrach, right? And then you have Tzafon and Darom. So now the question is, did they go north to south or did they go east to west? Okay, we've seen there's a machloket about this. So let's see. Tana Rabbanan, Kol HaKelim Shaba Mikdash Orkan LaOrko Shel Bayit. Okay, they were the length of the house, meaning... Okay, meaning they all went Mizrach to Ma'arav, Chutz Me'aron, the Aron Kodesh that sat inside the Kodesh Kodeshim, went the other way, went north-south. Okay? And all the other Kelim went Mizrach Ma'arav, okay, which is the Shulchan and the Menorah. This is the first opinion.
Although there are debates about the Menorah.
What?
Although there are debates about the Menorah.
Ah, so we're going to see. There's debates Bichlal, okay? V'kach haya munach. Okay, so now, except for the Aron, and this is how it was, V'kach hayu badav munachim. And this is the way their badim were munachim. Okay, that's not very clear. Okay, first of all, what are the badim? The badim are the poles. Here's the picture of the Aron. The Aron had poles that they would carry it with, because remember, we have the Aron from Moshe, from the time of the Mishkan, where they carried it. Had these poles that went through it. Now we're going to talk about those poles. So this source says, V'kach hayu badav munachim, which doesn't really make any sense. So now they're going to say, my kamar. What does this mean? They say, hachi kamar. This is what it means. Kach haya munach mid badav, kach hayu munachim. Okay, in other words, this is the way it was. How do we know this? From the fact that the Badim were this way, okay, from the fact that the Badim went east-west, that teaches us that the Aron went north-south. Ubadav minalan, how do we know the Badim went east-west? Titanya vaya'arichu habadim. Okay, it says in Sefer Melachim Aleph, when it talks about the building of the Beit HaMikdash, it says, V'ya'arichu habadim v'yeira'u rashei habadim min ha'kodesh al p'nei ha'dvir v'lo yeira'u achutza. It's a very strange line. It says the badim extended out and they were seen from the Kodesh, because remember, they're behind the parochet and the Kodesh Kodeshim. They were seen from the Kodesh al p'nei ha'dvir v'lo yeira'u achutza, but they weren't seen outside. What does that mean, they were seen and they weren't seen? It doesn't make any sense. So first of all, what do you learn from here? The badim clearly went into the parochet because it says they were seen, right? So they have to be going this way, which teaches that the Aron went the other way. Okay, now how we're going to know, how do you know that the Badim had to go in the opposite direction of the Aron, we're going to see. Okay? But the Badim were facing east to west, whereas the Aron was the length of the Aron was north to south. So now they're going to say, what does this pasuk mean? Yacholo yuhu nogim b'parochet. You might have thought they weren't touching the parochet. Talmud lamar v'yera'u. It says they were seen. If they were seen, they must have been touching the parochet. Iva yera'u yachol hayu makarim b'parochet. Then it sounds like maybe they tore through the parochet and were seen. V'yotzin. And they were maybe jutting out. Talmud lamar lo yera'u achutza. Right? So therefore it says, no, they weren't seen. So haketzav, what could be the only way? Dochakinu baltim b'parochet v'domin. This is a very strange analogy. Kimin shnei dadei isha. Okay, they look like the breast of a woman jutting out. Okay, meaning you could see them jutting out, but they didn't actually, they weren't visible. You could see the shape, but you couldn't see them. Okay, they pushed up against the parochet. Now, some people claim that the Badim were only 10 amot, which means, and the Aron was right in the middle, which means that the Badim couldn't actually really be jutting out. So it must be a miracle that they kind of extended somehow and were jutting out in a miraculous way. Some people say, no, who says they had to be 10 amot only? Maybe they're obviously longer and that this wasn't miraculous, this was actual. Okay, there's a bit of a debate.
Did they say
them.
It was actually in the center or could have been further to the
So they also, there's a whole thing about, I think, that it was centered and, if you remember, this whole thing, the Aron didn't take up any space in the Kodesh Kodeshim, there's these weird midrashim about it. Okay, anyway, Shenemar. Now they quote a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Tzror Hamor Dodi Li Ben Shaddai Yalin. Okay, Tzror Hamor is one of the things used for the incense, so that this was a way of, you know, the incense of the Kohen Gadol used in the Kodesh Kodeshim, a way of kind of having it go, you know, look like we want to have some image of the Kodesh Kodeshim outside and look like breasts of a woman. Uminalan de Badav Leputya de Aron Havu Yatve. Now how do we know that they were kind of on the sides? Okay, how do you describe this, right? The length. They went on either side of the length of the Aron and not on the width of the Aron. Now remember, the Aron was 2 amot by 1 amma. So now they say, Right, Dilma la okroda aron haviyatve. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda trei gavre ba'amta upaga lo mistagele. Okay, it would have to be. Oh, it was 2.5 amma. Right, you can't. It was 2.5 amma by 1 amma. Now, if you had it go, if you had them go in between the space of the. Wait 1 second. What were the measurements? Have it wrong. Liz, if you have it go, if you have it go the long way, then you're going to end up. 1 second. Then the people carried it, they stood in between the Badim when they carried it. So if they stood in between the Badim and the Badim went the other direction, it would be a very narrow space. It would only be 2.5 ammas there, and it's not enough space for people to stand. Right now, I have that measurement wrong. It must be 2.5 by 5 amma. That's, I think, what it is. It's 2.5 by 5.
They put round handles with little tiny jutting out things at the... You can see why
yeah.
what the image
ah,
is.
Ah, yeah, that it looks, ah, that's nice, right. You can see it looks,
looks
a little,
like
right, it does look like nipples. That's interesting. Okay.
It's got to be bigger than 2.5 by 1. That seems so tiny.
Right, right, it's not 2.5 by 1. Sorry, I'm messing up the measurements. I'm forgetting. Yeah. It must be 2.5 by 5, I'm
right.
guessing.
Because
I'm guessing, yeah, yeah, no, it wouldn't be. It was small, the aron. That's why I have this image of it being, but
yeah.
I forget now. But yeah, you can look and see. But in any case, it would be 2.5. Right? In other words, it would have to be then that this is, if it was this way, right, this space is, right, it must be 2.5 by 5, I'm guessing. So if it's 2.5 amma is not enough space for two people to stand over here in between that space. So now they're going to say, well, umanalan de ba'arba'a havadara lahu. How do you know that four people carried it? In other words, in order to have two people fitting in this space, you need two people here and two people there. Which means, why don't you just have one person in the front, one in the back? How do you know four people carried it? So here they darshan dichtiv nasua katim. Okay, you have to read the rest of the pasuk. Right, it's just a mistake. Vinasua katim. Oh, sorry, they just quote the pasuk in parts. Vinasua katim nosea mikdash. So they say nasua katim is double. That's two, and nosea mikdash nami tre. That's another two. Okay, so they darshan it from there, which is actually not talking about the Aron specifically. It's just talking about carrying the Mishkan. So it says that they assume here that four people carried it. Tana Rabbanan. Now we're going to learn about this thing that we mentioned before, that in fact we always imagine, right, there's one Shulchan and one Menorah. But when Shlomo built the Beit HaMikdash, he claims that based on the Masoret he had, right, that's the way the rabbis viewed that there was this Masoret, there were supposed to be 10 additional tables and 10 additional Menorahs. So now we're going to have to figure out if they went east to west or north to south, okay, how did we fit all these 10 menorahs and shulchanot in here, especially given, right, the size of them, and that one was on the north and one was on the south side and they couldn't cross over, so, because we know that each one had its own space, right, the shulchan went in the north and the menorah in the south, so we're going to have to figure out all the measurements and how it worked. Tana Rabbanan, Asara Shulchanot Asa Shlomo HaMelech, Shenemar, Vayaz Shulchanot Asara, Vayanach Be'echal, Chamisha Miyamin V'chamisha Mismol. Now, if you read that, what would you assume? He made Shulchanot 10, right? He put them in the Hechal, 5 on the right side of the room and 5 on the left side of the room, which obviously can't be because, right? Ve'im Tomar Chamisha Miyamin HaPetach V'chamisha Mismol HaPetach. That means when you walk into the Hechal, on the right side you put 5, on the left side you put 5. Well, then what's going to happen? Im Kematzinu, Sheshulchan B'Darom. Right, then the shulchan is going to end up in the darom side, and it's supposed to be on the tzafon side. Vatora amra vashulchan titein al tzela tzafon. So, what do they answer? Ela shel Moshe ba'emza. Moshe was in the middle. V'chamisha miyimino v'chamisha mismolo. Okay, Moshe's went in the middle, and when it meant miyimino mismolo, it meant to the right and to the left of Moshe's. Now, if you say it's all going east to west, it makes sense, right? You put Moshe's in the middle here, and then 5 on the right of Moshe, and 5 on the left of Moshe, and they're all still on the tzafon side of the room. Okay, right,
it was
on this side. Yeah, there were 11, because he made 10, plus we have the one of Moshe. Okay, so now, Tana Rabbanan. Eser minarot asah Shlomo, shenemar vayaset haminarot asahav eser kemishpat. Vayitein behecha chamisha miyamin v'chamisha mismol, the same thing. V'im tomar chamisha miyamin ha-petach chamisha mismol ha-petach in kematzinu minorah b'tzafon. Right? Then the menorah would end up in the tzafon, and that can't be. V'atara amra v'eta menorah nocha ha-shulchan. Because there it says, right, it says that the shulchan is on the tzafon, and the menorah was nocha ha-shulchan, which means it was opposite on the other side of the room. Ela shamosha v'emtza chamisha miyamino v'chamisha mismolo. Tani chada. Now we're going to have a brayta about where exactly in the room was this put. Okay, where in, okay, specifically we're going to see like the center in it. Well, we'll see. Tani chada. Mechatzi bayit belifnim hayu munachim. They were all halfway into the room. They were put a third of the way into the room. But now they say, "V'lo kasha." There's no difficulty here. Mar kachashe beit kodesh hakodeshim b'hadeh hechal. Mar lo kachashe beit kodesh hakodeshim b'hadeh hechal. Simple math. One said halfway, because he was talking about halfway of just the area, not including kodesh kodeshim. Halfway there is 20 amot into the room. If you include the whole space, which was 60 amot, then a third of the way is 20 amot into the room. So either way, they both agree, it's 20 amot into the room. So basically, we're now going to say the Shulchanot went in the 20 amma space, and the menorah also, in the 20 amma space between, right, the 20 mark, 20 yard line, so to speak, okay, to the 40 mark, okay, which was the Kodesh Kodeshim. Okay, so that gives you 20 amot of space. Okay, now we're going to have to figure this out. How long were they? 10 amot. Okay, right, they were, one second, not 10 amot, sorry, they were... They were, one second. Right, no, 10. Wait, now we're going to, okay, one second. So let's do the math. So now they're going to say, okay, Tana Rabbana. Mizrach u'ma'arav hayu munachim divrei Rebbe. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, o'er tzafon v'darom. Okay, now we're talking about the Shulchan. The Shulchan was Mizrach ma'arav or tzafon darom. My time at the Rebbe, gamar mi menorah. Ma menorah mizrach u'ma'arav, af hani nami mizrach u'ma'arav. He says, oh, we learned it from the menorah. The menorah was mizrach u'ma'arav. This is also mizrach u'ma'arav. U'menorah gufa minala. Where do we get the menorah from? Midichtiv v'ner ma'aravi yarocho to aron lefnei Hashem. Right? The ner ma'aravi went lefnei Hashem. Michlal dekulu lav lefnei Hashem. Right? So they, here we talked about this the other day. If the menorah, the ner ma'aravi was lefnei Hashem, then obviously the menorah went mizrach u'ma'arav. Or maybe not obviously, because we're going to see. Right? Okay. V'isach datach tzafon darom. If you did it tzafon darom, they're all kind of lifnei Hashem, opposite Hashem, because they're all the menorah, all the nerot are just as close to the hechal as the middle, as the ner ma'aravi. Rabbi Shimon, my time. So what's his reason for saying they went north south? Gamar me aron, ma aron tzafon darom, af hani nami tzafon v'darom. Okay, so therefore, also he says we don't learn it from the menorah, we learn it from the aron. So now, the Rebbe nami ligmar me'aron. Why didn't Rebbe learn it from the Aron? Danim chutz mechutz ve'ein danim chutz mipnim. Okay, better to learn something that's outside in the Hechal rather than learning something that's inside the Kodesh Kodeshim. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, ligmar mi'menorah. So now, why doesn't Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon? That sounds like a better way to learn it. Why didn't he learn it from menorah? So now he's going to answer the obvious, which you kind of could have figured out. Amalei menorah gufa tzafon v'darom hava mancha. He also thought the menorah was tzafon darom. He thought the shulchan and the menorah were tzafon darom. Ella, what does he do? Haktiv ya'arocho to aron u'banav. So how does he explain that? That the ner ma'aravi, when all the nerot, so we learned this the other day, demitzade le'atz dude. Each, they were sort of like a, almost like a football shape, the nerot, and you could turn them. So the ner ma'aravi, that one, like the middle one, they turned to face the aron, and the other ones all faced inside. Everything faced toward the inside, and that one faced, okay, so the...
This looks like they're playing with the wicks more than with the bowls.
Yeah, the wicks. Well, right, but you could turn the wick, right. So, yeah, it was that the wicks were turned, but how did you turn the wicks depending on the way the bowl... I saw something that seemed to indicate that it depended sort of how the bowl was that you could... Or maybe not the bowl, but there was a... It's like a space there that you could kind of move, like the holder of the wick could turn around so that you were able to kind of move it. Okay. Titania, El Mul Pneam and Araya Ibu Shavata Nerot, and here's a source that says this, Milamed Shayumit Sadidim Pnehem Klape Ner Emtsai. So Amar Rabbi Natan, Mikansha Emtsai Meshubach. Here he says, this is how we learn, and this is a halach of laning. If you have three psukim and four psukim and three psukim, you always do the four psukim in the middle, because the middle is the Meshubach one. Okay, the middle is the most... Right, it's like middle child, you know, maybe it's a way of saying you have to, right, the middle is the best. Bishlama lamanda amar mizrach u'ma'arav. Hainu dehava yitive asara be'eslim. Okay, if you say when mizrach to ma'arav, we see how you have 10 of these shulchanot in a space of 20 amot. Okay, right. So each shulchan was 2 amot long. Okay, so if you have then 2 times 10, so we see Mizrach and Ma'arav, they basically filled the entire space, those 20 amma, every 2 amma was another shulchan, okay? And you basically fill up the entire space from 20 to 40, okay? That makes sense. Ela lamanda amar tzafon darom, now remember the whole room was 20 amma wide. So if it went tzafon darom, and the assumption here is that it went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 in a row, then obviously this doesn't work. Because if you say tzafon darom, yud bekaf hechi havuyatve. How could you fit 10 all the way across the room? We're going to have 3 problems with this, okay? Number one, it would end up, right? It's number one, how could you have it filling up the entire room? V'tu, koinim hechi havu aile. In other words, how could the koinim pass anywhere in the room if the shulchanot go all the way? V'tu matzinu chamisha shulchanot b'darom. Then you're going to have 5 shulchanot on the darom side, and it can't possibly be. V'tu shulchan de Moshe hechamanachle. And also, where are you going to put the shulchan of Moshe? So now they say, wait a minute. Your third question, where are you going to put the shulchan shel Moshe, is going to be a problem either which way. Okay? Because still, you only have space for 10, you don't have space for 11. Ella, so therefore, I'm knocking out all your questions, because obviously, they're not all in one row. Misavart chad darahavu, tre darinenu. There were 2 rows, and now if you have a Gemara in front of you, you can see Rashi has pictures of it. They went in 2 rows of 5, with Moshe's in the middle. Okay? So you had 2 rows, and in the middle of each of the 2 rows sat the menorah or the shulchan of Moshe. Bishlama lamanda amar tzafon v'darom. Shapir. If you say tzafon to darom, then it makes sense. Ela lamanda amar mizmachu ma'arav. Michde shulchan kama mashuch min hakotel. Now we're going to have a big numbers issue. Okay? The assumption is that you need 2.5 amot for 2 people to stand. Okay? So now they're going to say like this. If the shulchan was, okay, in order, you needed 2 koinim to switch the breads. So if the shulchan is away from the wall, okay, the shulchan is away from the wall, 2.5 amma. Okay, so that's 2.5 amma. The shulchan takes up a space, the width of the shulchan is 1 amma. Okay, so you have 2.5 amma, then 1 amma. Then you have another 2.5. It's space in between. Then you have Moshe's and Amma. Then you have another 2.5. And then you have the other row of 5, which is 1. So you have 3 plus 7.5. You end up with 10.5. So you're going to end up crossing the half line, and you're going to end up in the other side. So, Michde Shulchan Kamah V'Mashuch Menakotel Shtei Amot V'Mechtza. Amma Didei, its own Amma, V'Shtei Amot V'Mechtza D'Beine Beine, right? And the 2.5 in between. V'Amma U'Shtei Amot V'Mechtza D'Beine Beine, and then another Amma and 2.5. This is exactly what I did before. V'Amma Didei, and its own Amma. Ishtekach Dekaachel Shulchan Palga De'amta B'Darom. So it ends up a half an Amma into the Darom. So now they say, wait a minute. Mi Savart Shulchan De Moshe B'Adayu Havayativ. Lo, who's to say that it went 5 shulchanot, then Moshe's in the middle, then the other 5 shulchanot. It's true Moshe's was in the middle, but not in the middle the way you imagine it. Lo, demidlele umanachle, umetate lelidit uporta, ki talmid ha-yoshev lifnei rabo. A very nice image. That if you take this shulchanot, you have these rows of 5 going, okay, 5 shulchanot, 5 shulchanot. And then, in the center of them, toward the Heichal, not actually in between them. So in between them, you didn't need that much space that we all counted right here. But it went closer to the Heichal. So Moshe's wasn't actually in between, but like a teacher standing in front of a classroom, you have the Shulchan of Moshe, and then kind of going out toward the exit of the Heichal, you have the 2 rows. So that's how we explain how it worked. Okay, we'll stop here today. And then the big question in tomorrow's daf is going to be, what happened with all these shulchanot? Did you put lechem apanim on them? Did you light all the candles in all the menorot? And what were these tables all being used for? And menorot, or were they being used at all?